Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now on the hotline, I love this interview. We had a chance to catch up with Coach a few months back, I suppose. But joining us now, assistant coach for the Denver Nuggets, Popeye Jones. Coach, my friend, always look forward to this chat. Thanks for giving us some time today.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Brady? Glad to be on with you today, especially after a win last night like that.
That win was, I mean, you guys are coaching, you're working hard. I'm laying in bed watching on my iPad. I was tired, but I'm telling you, man, there's nothing like seeing that a game-winning shot, that beautiful pass from the Joker to wake you up. Well, I mean, your guys' adrenaline, you're probably still rolling off of that.
Right. Obviously, Brady, it's the type of game that you want to win, obviously, because you are drained after it. But I tell you what I saw from the Joker last night was just incredible. I've never seen anything like it. And I've been playing and coaching, 30 years, almost 30 years. And it was just, I even, as a fan last night after the game, Brady, I told him, can you please sign this box score for me?
Hey, that's a good idea. That might be worth something, man.
Right. But he was incredible last night. And as you said, and AG making that winning shot, it's really good for his confidence. As you know, all season we've been up and down shooting the ball, and for him to make that corner three was huge for his confidence going forward.
And I want to get into more of that final play with you, Coach. But man, this game it felt like are the Clippers gonna, is this game kind of fizzle out? Are the Clippers gonna run away with this late? And there's a look that came over Nikola Jokic. I mean, he plays like an MVP all the time, but there was a stretch late in that game, and then an overtime where he was pretty much unstoppable.
Well, he was, but you never, a guy that big handling the ball and pick and rolls was to me was the most impressive thing. And then the one, I don't know if you remembered, in the middle of the floor where he rejected and went left down the middle at his size. And I was just like, are you kidding me? He's out there running middle pick and rolls. And like you said, his you know, he's usually a pretty even keel guy, and you've watched him obviously longer than me. But last night you could just see it in his eyes, and he was pumped. And here's the drilling. He wasn't going to let us lose last night. He had that look in his eyes.
That final pass. I mean, he's double teamed. He's about as far away as you can get from that corner three. And somehow, some way, he finds Aaron Gordon. I mean, what, you guys obviously talked about it, but what's everybody talking about after that play?
Well, it's funny because, you know, let's go back. Let's give a little credit to Monte Morris because he was in the opposite wing and he cut. And brought the defense in. And Joker, I think the biggest thing, you got two big guys on you, and he didn't panic. He just waited for Monte to cut, and he knew AG was going to be in that backside corner wide open, and he just put it, like, right in the shooting pocket with two guys on him. And after the game, it's funny, we were just, you know, chanting and having a little food as a staff, and we was like, I wonder if he could be an NFL quarterback with a pass like that. We'd like to see him throw a football.
Well, I think Broncos fans would like to see him throw a football because we can't seem to find a quarterback. So yeah, maybe he could double duty there.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brady, we don't want it. We don't want him to go. We don't want him to do that. We want him to stay on our side. You know, keep playing an indoor sport. Keep playing basketball. So we don't want him to do that.
What an incredible game, though. 49 points, 14 rebounds, and I was about to be mad, right? He was going to be one assist shy of a triple-double, and then, of course, the most important assist you can get in a game is a game-winning assist, and he finds a way to get that triple-double late. I mean, it was just a special moment.
It really was. And I'll tell you, you know, I have to go back, Brady, since you had me on the line, the four games when Coach Malone was out, David Alderman was out, and I was the head coach. Oh, he was such a leader. He was so vocal. He was such a leader. He helped me so much understanding, you know, what's good for the team in terms of offensively, you know, where he wanted to get the ball. And he's just so easy to coach to be a superstar. I don't know how else to put it. I've been around a lot of superstars, and he's one of the easiest ones I've ever seen. You know, probably along with Dirk Nowitzki, who was another pretty easy superstar to coach.
Wow. I mean, that's high praise to Dirk. I mean, one of those guys, right? And we're talking to assistant Nuggets coach Popeye Jones. And, Coach, an interesting experience for you. It's kind of been like a roller coaster. Obviously, when COVID's kind of running through the NBA, it's running through college sports, too. And then you're you know, put in that spot where you're asked to be the head coach. And, I mean, as you said, it's so important to have guys like Joker in that stage because it's, you know, it's not the norm. It's we're all kind of facing a lot of uncertainty, but having a guy like that probably did, you know, probably was pretty special for you.
It was. It kind of as you know, as you're taking over, you know, you got a lot of obviously worries. You know, something I've never done. I've been an assistant forever, you know, and done some summer league head coaching, but I've never been in an NBA coach. And he really eased a lot of my anxiety, a lot of my worries about, you know, things that, you know, we needed to do to be successful. And that, you know, and that first win in Houston was huge, even though, and then the second one, you know, we lost in Dallas, but he was so calm. When he went back in the game in the fourth quarter, I was like, okay, what do we need to do? What do we need to run? Even though we lost the game, but he looked at me with this calmness before he checked in and was like, don't worry about it. I got it.
what was the most difficult thing for you stepping into that role? And again, it's weird timing to just do that because, you know, you're not necessarily prepared and then bam, there you are.
Well, I think the most difficult thing, you know, it's going to be a short stretch. So you want to think like the head coach. You don't want to, you know, run any new plays. You don't want to change rotations, even though we had guys in and out. You want to keep guys in their regular minutes. You just want to be an extension of the head coach because that's what you are, an assistant. You know, you're there to assist the head coach. So, you know, I was in constant communication with Coach Malone, and he kept telling me, hey, you got to, you know, coach your style, but I'm here for you. But I still was in constant communication. Okay, what would you do in this situation? What would you run in this situation? So I think that was the most difficult thing, just trying to keep everything as normal as possible.
Well, and congratulations, too. I know that first win against Houston, I know that was a pretty special moment for you.
It was really special for me, and the guys were really awesome. You know, when I came in, the water was really cold. they were awesome. They threw water on me. And, you know, I talk about Joker, but the whole group here is pretty special group. Obviously, he's the best player. He's the MVP. He's the leader. But, you know, all the guys, you know, from Will to AG to Monte, you know, I can just go down the list. Jeff Green, who's been around, you know, Jermichael, just all the guys are just really, they're really special guys, and they're really easy to coach. You know, Bones as a rookie. And again, I can go on and on. Faku, who was great for me because Monte was out, you know, running the team. It's just a great group of guys.
Well, you mentioned Monte Morris. I mean, he was pretty close to getting his own triple-double last night. He had one of those games.
He did. Obviously, he's been huge, and you know, he stepped in to be a starter because Jamal was out, and he's been great. You know, he's able to make shots, but you know, we were teasing him last night because he was rebounding. I think he had 8 at halftime, so we were like, ooh. So I got to tease him tomorrow that you only had 1 in the second half because he was saying, "Look at me, man!" During the timeout, he goes, "Look how many rebounds that guy." What he said to me.
Oh, I love that. I love that, too, because you always wonder as a fan, like, if they're thinking about the stats. And I always, you know, when they say they're not, they have fun with it, though. If you can have fun with it, it's all good, man.
Exactly, they do. They have fun with it. You know, I think that maybe they all think about it. I hate to say it, but Joker, he just plays wherever the stats end after the game. You know, it's good. Like I said, I got the box score signed. I went up to him. I was like, this is a special night. Would you sign this for me? And again, such a humble guy. He just grabbed the marker and signed it, you know? Thanks, man.
How rare is it, though? I mean, you make comparisons like Dirk and such, but it just seems like Joker's getting, I mean, obviously MVP. I think we're making a strong case for back-to-back MVP. As he gets better, as he gets to this point where he's like, you know, in the conversation of maybe greatest, you know, one of those great of all time, he does seem to get more humble. I've been on Zoom calls, and he's like the most considerate guy to all the reporters.
He is. I tell you, when you start, like, I got home last night and, you know, turned the TV on and SportsCenter was on, and they put him up there with Jabbar. And I forgot what they said about the triple-double, the 40-point triple-double, but they said, I think the last time it happened was 71-72
wow.
when Dubois was with Milwaukee. So, you know, when you got his picture up there with one of the all-time great centers and he's 26 years old, you're just like, it really puts it in perspective of who you're going to work and who you're watching every night. You know, I'm just so blessed to be a part of the staff and a part of the organization to see it, not only on a night-in and night-out basis, but to see the work that he puts in on a day-to-day basis.
Do you think we should be attempting to have that conversation about him not being, because like right now, obviously, he's the MVP, he's the best, he's if not one of the best, whatever. But do we have those conversations of, hey, is Joker one of those all-time greats? Are we ready to have that kind of chat?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not a media guy, I'll tell you, and I don't know what they're saying, you know, what they're saying, but, you know, you always hear, they always say, well, they got to win a championship.
Yeah.
They got to win a championship. So I think that, you know, that's the next step. You know, he's 26. What was Michael? He was 28 when he won his first one.
Yeah, I think so.
So Joker is right, you know, he's right there, and hopefully I'm still here to be a part of it, because this is the only reason I still coach is to win a championship. I didn't win one as a player, and I hadn't won one as a coach yet.
Well, and I'm hopeful too. Like I said, when we first interviewed you, Coach, you know me, I'm a big Popeye Jones fan, so I love the fact having you on staff. Speaking of signing things, when are we going to make that work? I got to get you to sign my basketball cards, man. I've got like 50 Popeye Jones cards.
Well, you know, anytime if you're at the field house or the arena, you see me, you know I'll sign them for you. I'll sign you hand them to me. I'll sign all of them and get them back to you.
You know I'm going to hold
That's
you to
no
that.
Problem.
I'm
going to
do
okay,
that.
Okay,
no. Coach, I know you. I don't know if you can really get into specifics on this, but obviously, every time we see Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. shoot, we see it on Twitter or whatever. Fans going crazy. We're all like, when is it going to happen? But are we still like Porter's shocking to me? The fact that we're even talking about him potentially coming back, but are we still kind of leaning toward the April side of things, or is it just too soon to even guess at that point?
Well, I think it's too soon to guess. You know, it's another back surgery, but I can say, talking to him, you know, he says he feels really good. And so who knows, you know, if it's going to be April or not. He goes, man, I feel so much better than I felt before I needed the surgery. So that's a great sign. We know backs are tricky. During my playing career, I never had surgery, but I had plenty of cortisone injections. Plenty of bad lower backs. And then I think on Jamal, you know, I went through the same thing the year before or 2 years before I came to Denver as a player. I was actually rehabbing a lot while I was here as a player. You know, I had a total reconstruction of my knee. And, you know, I try to be in, when I see Jamal, I try to talk to him about it. And I think he has good days and bad days. That's how that injury works. One day I said, you know, you think that, man, I'm ready to play. And then the next day you're like, no, I'm not ready to play. So I think both of them, it's going to take time. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, no doubt. It's definitely one of those tricky injuries for sure. You guys are sitting at 23-20, got a big one coming up against Memphis tomorrow night. Is this about where you thought you'd be, knowing you were going to be without Jamal Murray, and then especially when Michael Porter Jr. goes down? Or are you a little ahead of schedule considering all those things?
Well, you know, it's hard to say behind or ahead, but, you know, we're right in the thick of things, and that's where we wanted to be. Hopefully we can, you know, continue to stay out of the play-in tournament. You know, that's what we hope we can do, and hopefully we do get those guys back, and, you know, and maybe, you know, we can make some noise in the playoffs this year. But, yeah, it's been a really good homestand, and one thing, you know, it's funny, you know, you talk about I was a head coach and everybody was out with COVID. I was almost scared for a second why I wasn't getting it, but when I was out, when everybody came back and then I was out a week, I got to watch a lot of basketball, and for some reason I kept tuning into this Memphis team, and they're a really impressive young team, and they're coming in tomorrow night, and it's going to take our best effort to keep this homestand going. You know, it's been a good homestand so far, so these last two games against Memphis and Detroit, hopefully we can finish it out strong.
Yeah, and I know those are important because as you get these two games done and then you're back out on the road. So I know some big opportunities for you guys. I circled that game too, the Memphis one. I'm really looking forward to that. Some great players over there. So should be a fun game, Coach.
Yep, it should be really fun. I think the guys will be ready. Obviously, there were some big minutes last night, so we're not doing much today, and hopefully they'll get some rest, and then we'll get ready tomorrow.
Hey, we love having you on this program. You're always welcome to come talk some basketball with us, and man, I just look forward to tomorrow night. Should be a blast.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, bud.
All right, man. There's assistant Nuggets coach Popeye Jones. I joke with him because we share the same birthday. So when I was, you know, I was a kid, I still love basketball cards. No Limit Collectibles, shameless plug. I collected basketball cards like you wouldn't believe. Now, obviously, you collect the guys you like, the players you like and such, but I would always look on the back and see when their birthday was. That was a big deal to me for some reason. And so I finally found a player that had the same birthday as me, and it was Popeye Jones. So I began collecting all of his cards. I watched when I knew his games were on. He played for Dallas for a good stint. He had a year with Denver. I was a big fan of Popeye Jones. And it happened straight. I mean, I wasn't even a big basketball fan at the time. I was young. I was a little kid. But I just liked basketball cards. And then so I started following his career. And then once, of course, the Nuggets announced that he was coming over as an assistant coach here, I thought that was pretty cool. So we appreciate him jumping on. So well-spoken. Did get a couple of victories, too, as the head coach taking over for Michael Malone when they were in their COVID protocol situation. 21 minutes after the hour. Do want to quick shout-out to a great new sponsor of the program, and that's Marinda Simpson. She knows, hey, having someone local has never been more important. She's here to help you. She's a State Farm insurance agent. Her number is 970-223-7800. She's dealing with auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renter, life, business, you name it. She's dealing with it throughout Northern Colorado. Again, that number is 970-223-7800. If you're a fan of what we do here on The Whole Show, then you should be a fan of Marinda Simpson's. 21 minutes after the hour. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. What do we got next? Coaching search. Let's look at that. Broncos are in more interviews today. When will we know? And is Dan Quinn a realistic possibility, or could the Vikings swipe him up? Kevin Lytle will join me as well. We'll be right back.
Join the legendary broadcaster Jerry Schammel this season for UNC basketball coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to The Whole Show. We're powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to No Limit Collectibles. I was a card collector. I still have all of my cards. I'm going to bring them in sometime and see if I got $1 million just hanging out in the closet. Ken, and you know, it's a family-owned and operated business there. And, man, I'm telling you, Ken can find the stuff. He just, if you go in and say, I want this, I want a signed whatever, if he doesn't have it in the store, they're going to find it. He has people all over the country. He's going to shows on a daily or on a weekly basis so he can bring new products into the store. They're now located in Greeley. Right by Cables. They're in that kind of square there. I think there's a Subway there. There's Cables. Check out No Limit Collectibles. I know my boy, Jay Dean, back there, who's in training back there with Yoda. We had a whole Star Wars discussion, apparently, last segment. But he goes to No Limit Collectibles. So, I mean, if he goes, then you should absolutely go. So we were saying Michael is training Jay Dean back there to be the next superstar Whole Show producer. So you're kind of like Yoda, right? You're training. Is that fair to say?
Who knows? I could be Qui-Gon Jinn.
I don't know what any of that stuff is. Describe them to me. I don't know the names.
He's from the first movie, episode one.
Okay. And I am Han Solo, obviously. We figured that out.
So. Yeah, you're Han Solo from Solo, a Star Wars story.
I don't
worry. You're that Han Solo.
Is that bad? Is that Jay Dean's giving it a look? And we said Jay Dean can be Luke Skywalker? That's cool.
I was joking, Brady.
Why? What's wrong with that? I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, you don't need to. It's all right. It's not horrible, it's but it's all
I think
all
I
right.
started watching like the first 10, 20 minutes of it, and I just wasn't into it. I like Star Wars. I'm just not a diehard Star Wars guy. Like, it's fun. They were fun. One of the more recent movies was terrible, though.
Which one? The woke one?
I don't know.
I recommend that everybody not
watch. It was
watch.
The middle one. The middle of the new three that they made.
Yeah, that
It was
one.
The middle one.
That one was
That
dumb.
Was like where Luke Skywalker is sucking on, like some weird creepy monster getting milk out of it. You
yeah,
remember that part?
That was
so weird. I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, it was.
And then he died but
good.
Didn't die. He was like using his spirit or something. Like, I know it's the Force, but that's weird, man.
I didn't like. I was upset at the movie after that when they determined that the Force makes you God if you're powerful enough. And I'm like, no, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a Star Trek guy in me that enjoys science and reality.
I do like The Mandalorian, though. That was cool. But that didn't feel like... obviously it's Star Wars, it's space, but it was like a Western almost. That was cool. I started watching Boba, whatever that's called. He's like dancing around with the sand people or something. I don't know. I'm in the second episode. It's weird.
You can hear more about Micah's complaints on the Nerd Show. Wednesdays at 5.
You're still carrying that?
On 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
28 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. You got to pay for that live read, by the way, Michael. I do want to throw out our poll question.
I'll buy you pizza.
Okay, that's fine. Method Flow Products poll question of the day: is Nikola Jokic the best pro athlete in the state of Colorado? And I think the answer right now is yes. This was a debate a year ago. This was a debate 2 years ago. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon is the closest. Cale Makar probably is the third closest, and that's sad, isn't it? It's Nuggets and Avs. That's where we are at this point. It's not going to be anybody for the Rockies. And Justin Simmons is maybe the closest one you can get to. I do think that if Javonte Williams keeps going and Patrick Surtain keeps going, then those guys will be in this conversation. Surtain's going to have his work cut out because, again, like you said, Champ Bailey, would he have been in this chat? Yes. But that means you're like, to be one of the greatest in the state as a cornerback, you have to be a big-time playmaker. And that's what Champ Bailey was. 29 minutes after the hour, we got Kevin Lytle coming on to talk to us. Another Colorado State Rams discussion. So we'll look forward to getting him. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. You are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Thirty-four minutes after the hour, welcome back in to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And we're going to spend a lot more time with Kevin and Chris Abshire this afternoon at 5 o'clock for our College Hoops tip-off program, all things Colorado State specifically. But for now, we'll give you a teaser. Kevin, my man, the Rams found a way to get it done. Wasn't necessarily pretty, but like you've always said, all we're going to pay attention to at this stage is the W, and that's what the Rams went and got last night.
Yeah, exactly. Not the prettiest game. Nico Medved was, frankly, pretty peeved afterward with how the team performed. He thought, good in stretches, but a lack of focus and attention detail in other stretches, and that's basically how it went. CSU multiple times got up like 10 points. He thought, okay, they're going to run away. And then all of a sudden, it would be a close game again. At one point in the second half, CSU went up 10, and I thought, okay, this is really going to be when they're going to put New Mexico to bed. And you look up 2 minutes later, New Mexico had a lead. They went on an 11-0 run. So that kind of speaks to the lack of focus, I guess, if you will. But in the end, CSU did get it done, kind of just basically about the 14-man mark. They basically abandoned jump shots and said, guys, New Mexico can't defend us inside, so don't do anything other than go inside and scoring the paint, and that basically won it for him.
Well, and again, I think you were tweeting about it, talking about it last night, too. When you have a team that's just shooting lights out like that, New Mexico, I mean, that's basketball. You can be not a great basketball team, but if you just catch fire, that's a great equalizer, that three-point ball. And certainly New Mexico found it, and that's one of the big reasons they were able to keep it so close.
Yeah, and that's basically what New Mexico is. They have three guards who basically just shoot without conscience, and that's kind of the only way they score. So they don't have a plan B, so they don't, their coaches don't try and restrict them. In some ways it's AAU ball style. Jalen House, I think he could miss 10 straight shots on the 11th possession. He would come down and take a heat check. That's kind of what they are, but they were hitting them last night, and I think that's New Mexico what they are. They'll probably either threaten or maybe even beat one of the top teams this year by just shooting, crazy, crazy good. And then they'll kind of get blown out some games when they're not shooting well. But yeah, they're a funky team, and they were hitting shots last night, and CSU kind of defensive inattention at times. They really couldn't guard, or didn't guard, I should say, ball screens at all, and gave up too many of those shots that those guys love.
We're talking to Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins Coloradoan. Okay, so you get the win. That's all that matters. Is there any reason, Kevin, where you look at these last few games coming back from that COVID pause that you would say, hey, I'm concerned about this team a little bit? Or are you looking at it and saying, all right, they're finding ways to win even after being off for almost a month. So, I mean, are you looking too seriously at anything like concerns or anything like that at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you certainly want them to get going again back to where they were before the break. Like I said, I still don't think the concern is anything huge. But you are hoping to get some things. You know, you want to get Adam Thistle going. You want to get Kendall Moore going. The three-point shooting hasn't been good since the break. Nico Medved shrugged that one off. He says, you know, you kind of go through slumps or whatever. He said we'll be fine there. But, you know, things like, you know, lack of attention to detail like they had last night, those are things that you really shouldn't have with a pretty experienced veteran team. So I think that's the type of thing that you want to really eradicate. Things like, you know, hitting open shots, at higher volume, that will come.
Are you looking at this Air Force game on Saturday? Obviously, Air Force, you know, they played a pretty good game against the Rams. The Rams get away winning 67-59, but that was the first game back. However, we talked about this last week on the Hoops Tip-Off show, Kevin. Air Force, you know, they might surprise some people, but they're certainly good on their home floor.
Yeah, Clune can be a tough place to play. And, you know, Air Force was missing several starters in that game against CSU. CSU, like you said, was real fresh off the COVID break. So it'll be an interesting game. Pretty different styles that you're facing in back-to-back games. You go from kind of the track meet of New Mexico to kind of a wrestling match against Air Force. So I think it helps that CSU just played them. I think they'll probably be locked in because I'm guessing, there's probably been some pretty strong messaging last night and today about, you know, needing to get, you know, locked in a little bit more. But it's definitely a tricky game. This is one of those real funky ones on the schedule. I'm also intrigued to see how many CSU fans are there. When CSU has good teams, they tend to have a pretty big crowd at Clune Arena, so I think that will be a thing. I don't know how much that will affect things, but yeah, this is going to be a weird game. And again, CSU, it's probably not going to be pretty because it rarely, of course, but just got to find a way.
Kevin, this game last night was on national television. It was on CBS. You put out an article about the students showing out last night. I mean, what better opportunity right there for a big showing? And I didn't think it was going to happen. I mean, the ice was crazy. People were slipping and sliding. But you had a record number. Is that right? A record number with the student turnout last night at Moby?
Yeah, CSU said it was a record number, 3,800. They kind of changed the number after the game, which is a little suspect, but just shy of 4,000, basically, which is pretty much 160% of the student allotment. And, yeah, they really helped because, yeah, there were a lot of people, you know, kind of your older crowd that didn't risk, very understandably, didn't risk the ice and everything because the roads were pretty rough. But the students really kind of took over and man, if you can keep that going and I think they will, you know, with team success and everything, Moby is going to be a pretty crazy place because you still have probably three of your biggest, kind of attendance opportunity games still coming with Wyoming, San Diego State and Boise State. So, it looks like CSU is going more than likely they're going to have their largest average attendance since the late 90s this year.
Wow, and rightfully so. It's a great basketball team. They're all so easy to root for. We had just talked to Chandler Jacobs moments ago, and I mean, every one of them, I'm always blown away. If it's not Isaiah Stevens, it's David Roddy, it's Chandler Jacobs. So many great dudes, and it certainly helps that they're like really, really good at basketball.
Yeah, exactly. It's a pretty perfect combo, and you know, Chandler's the new guy, but I think he's, you know, really ingratiate himself with fans. And then, you know, all those other guys you mentioned, they've been around for years and years. So fans really, that does nothing but good in helping, you know, get some people out and get people engaged and excited about the program. And so you combine, you know, kind of people and likability with wins. That's a pretty good recipe.
No, you had another guy in attendance that was turning some heads, and that's new head football coach Jay Norvell was there. I mean, he's talking to the crowd, he's going around taking pictures and selfies. I got to ask this, Kevin. I don't know the answer to this. Did Steve Adazio go to games?
So, yeah, so it's kind of a traditional thing when, you know, you hire a coach. Obviously, those hires always happen, you know, December, January, so it's during basketball season. Pretty traditional to bring them out at a basketball game, introduce them to the crowd. So CSU waited. They wanted to wait until students were back in attendance to do it with Norvell, which I think makes sense. And, yeah, he really – and it seemed like he was basically running. It's not like he was, you know, being shepherded around. He basically walked himself into both student sections and was high-fiving people and then, you know, helped raise the – or, you know, roll out the flag they always do and was cheering during intro. So it was a pretty cool thing. And yeah, it happens, but no CSU coach has done it like that, you know. Steve Adazio, when he came in, the CSU played CU shortly after he was hired, and he they wanted to do it at halftime, but he refused to stay until halftime. He wanted to do it before the game, so he made a quick little pregame speech and then left the stadium, which in hindsight is a pretty foretelling experience for how the rest of the tenure would go. Not terribly engaged with everyone. So yeah, the you know, rollout intro at a basketball game, pretty traditional, but the amount of engagement that Norvell kind of did, I haven't seen that one.
Well, I mean, you're right. We were talking about it earlier. I was like, if Adazio went, I have no memory of it because there weren't, you know, again, social media is king, and I get that, and you didn't see a lot of the pictures and the tweeting. Norvell was all over social media last night from fans just going crazy about this guy. So, again, it's, I think, a relatively easy thing to do, go to a basketball game, shake some hands, do that thing, but I guess for some coaches it's more of a difficult task.
Yeah, exactly, and I mean, I got some messages from folks on the football staff, but who were on the previous staff, you know, kind of ops people, messaging me saying, you know, believe us, this is a genuine effort. You know, this isn't just a, you know, a show, which I say the walk out, you know, and, you know, grab a mic and say, oh, we're so excited to be here. Go Rams. Every coach is going to do that, but not every coach is going to volunteer to jump in the student section. So yeah, I mean, it's you know, doesn't necessarily win you football games, but certainly gets some people on your side as you're building to try and do so.
Yeah, which we've talked about. That's at the end of the day, that's what it's about, is getting people to your game so you can grow that program. Kevin, appreciate you as always, man. I know we'll talk to you and Chris coming up soon. We'll delve into all things basketball. We'll look at how everything's gone so far for Colorado State and look ahead, too.
Yeah, sounds great. Looking forward to seeing you guys for a show.
All right, man. Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. We'll talk to him at 5 o'clock. We have the College Hoops tip-off show that, you know, I host with Kevin and Chris. They are great guys from the Coloradoan. And it's really just it's a blast of a program, especially when you're talking about something so fun in the Colorado State men's basketball program. Before we take a short break, I want to tell you guys about one of my sponsors, and that's Rev Chiropractic. You know, I brag about these guys all the time, how my back pain is virtually gone. And it's been about a year since I started going over there. And I was just tired of it. I was tired of going to the cracking guy chiropractors. And it wasn't good. I mean, it was a relief for a moment and didn't work for me. It might work for you guys, but it wasn't solving the problem. I was tired of my back hurting, putting my kid up on my shoulders, running around. It was driving me crazy. And so finally went to Rev Chiropractic, told him about me, did the x-ray, got everything, analyzed my situation. And a year later, man, I don't feel pain. I don't. I'm telling you guys, the pain is gone. If you're struggling, talk to my friends over at Rev Chiropractic. That's Dr. Tyler Terry, Dr. Haley Harada. Family-owned business now. They're engaged. So congratulations to them. Great people. You're going to, you know, it's life-changing. Seriously, life-changing. 46 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We'll get to what's on TV on the other side. We'll close out another edition of The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Friday's right around the corner. It's tomorrow if you're doing the math at home. Weld Works in downtown Greeley. They release a new beer every single Friday. Dialed in beer. You guys have heard of Weldworks. You know Weldworks. Some of the best beer around. I mean, it kind of started the whole thing off here with craft in the craft brewing industry, at least around this area. They're like worldwide now. People know them all over the place. So go see what the buzz is about if you haven't been in. And try a beer. Try a new beer. Try one of their staples. They got the Juicy Bits beer. I mean, that one is legendary. It's world famous. Go try that one or one of their Friday new beer releases at noon every single Friday. That's Weldworks Brewing, dialed in beer. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Wrapping up our discussion about the our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, is Nikola Jokic the best pro athlete in the state of Colorado? And I think the answer at this stage is certainly yes. He is at that point. Now, we had a texter earlier say, hey, he might be the greatest of all time when it comes to Colorado. And I had this discussion last year about John Elway. You know, hey, could Joker ever surpass Elway? And I'm telling you, Elway's not in. I mean, there's like 50% of the Broncos fans right now that don't feel too great about John. And this whole ownership thing, I mean, they are pitting each other. I mean, Manning and Elway, they're against each other, which is crazy. But there's a lot of people that are like, no, I'm done with Elway. So I wonder if that's hurt his overall reputation a little bit. And again, the Joker's probably not going to ever buy the Nuggets or run the Nuggets as a GM. So his fame and celebrity is going to be based on what he's done as a player. So that's going to take championships. You know, I asked assistant Nuggets coach Popeye Jones moments ago, you know, what it would take to have those conversations about Joker being one of the all-time greats. And, you know, he pretty much said it. He's like, got to win a championship. He's like, he's there. He's one of those guys. But what people are always going to hold you to is your titles. Are you winning championships? So if Joker can bring a title to Denver, I'm not trying to, like, knock football. The Broncos, in the NFL, you don't look at the flyover cities the same way as you do in basketball. I don't know why it is, but Denver is a football state, but you could easily see a lot of states do well in football. There's a lot of states in basketball where it's just like, it's a flyover town. It's a flyover state. Nobody wants to go there. And Denver was not a hot spot for free agents in the NBA. I mean, when Melo was here, kind of. You might start seeing that now with the Joker, but I do think winning a title as a Nugget could prove to be more complicated, more difficult task than winning as a Bronco, because I don't think there is as much of the East-West Coast bias when it comes to football as there is when it comes to basketball. All right, second hour, we're done. I'll be back with you guys later today, though, at 5 o'clock for our college hoops tip-off show with Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire. You're not going to want to miss that show. And then we'll be back at it on a Friday. I'll get you my picks for the weekend, for the busy, busy football weekend, and so much more. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.